Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Sunday, March 31st, 2024, coming right up. It is the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Now, chapter 1 was monumental, man. All these things happen for us, for examples, in the end times. So when you get these pastors or preachers or people that have overstepped their spot in the many-member body of Christ, and they try and jam these prophecies into past events and claim they've been exhausted, all these things happen for us in the end times. Don't be a commentary bandit. Always make sure that whoever you're listening to can document what they say. We're documenting this thought for thought playing out on the world stage today. There is no way this dude, this cat named Habakkuk, chilling in the Middle East way back 2,500 years ago, could have possibly knowing these things unless it was divine revelation. It's not man's imagination. Man has a great imagination full of ideologies that they think they know better than God, and they think they know better than this book. God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by, to get back into harmony with his universe. Here it is here. He tells us all things. Matthew 13, Mark 13, Jesus Christ. Listen, man, I've told you guys everything. Okay, if you don't want to listen, that's fine. You can go play somewhere else. Otherwise, here it is, Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, we know that we're talking about the book of Habakkuk. It's so unique the way we're not talking about a sovereign government here. We kind of are, but we're mostly talking about the capitalist corporocracy, which, of course, is run by rich white men and their lobby that's behind it. And all the people that support this fascist capitalist corporocracy that's running amok across the world. Attitudes of obscene entitlement fueled by ruthless unadulterated greed. All the people passively aggressively involved in it are mentioned in here today. You're not going to get away from it. Like, government officials are supposed to keep economic interest separate from political power. They don't. We know when, especially American officials, when they meet behind closed doors with big business, democracy dies in its tracks. Where's Abraham Lincoln, eh? Sitting in that statue somewhere in Washington. Democracy is by the people, for the people, of the people. What happens now? When big business meets behind closed doors with these congressmen, with American officials, democracy dies in its tracks. So comes a fascist, capitalist corporocracy. And the proof is so easy to see, because look at how much money they have. Where do civil servants get so much money? Like, say, Nancy Pelosi or Fauci. How do they get so much money? Okay, just use Nancy Pelosi for a little bit. How come she's up $120 million? She's a civil servant. You're not an entrepreneur, Nancy. You're not an innovator, and you're not a creator. You're a civil servant. How did you get up so far in that much amount of money? And how much money do you need anyway? Hey, there's a cost to that, man. Enjoy it now, Nancy. You look like you just walked out of Tales from the Crypt, because that must be eating you up inside, the way you're oppressing other people on planet Earth for personal gain. And we're going to read about that right now. And we did Habakkuk chapter 1. And another little announcement I have to make. This is a registered nonprofit ministry. Whatever you can help out with, all provisions go to God's purposes. That's why it's a registered nonprofit ministry. I'm not going to increase my lifestyle. Obviously, I've proved that. If anyone wants to come out here for a Bible study, or come out here for the summer, we have a companion chapel, a homesteading community here. You can come out and see. Yeah, we live humble here. There's not even hot water here. In fact, I wasn't even allowed to live in this house. This is my place, my property. God allowed it to me on paper. But they said, hey, they condemned this house. So I lived here for 2 years because I took off while I came back. Place was trashed. So I'm squatting in my own house. And they actually finally gave me a certificate of acceptance to allow electricity here. So there's been electricity for, a couple years now, but there wasn't for quite a while. But anyways, that's the situation here. When you donate to this nonprofit, you're just helping paying for the internet, giving me more time to study and to try and get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world. Whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the many-member body of Christ. Go to companionchapel.com. For $10, I'll send you one of these too. I got a whole bunch of them. Anyways, let's stay on subject here. That was my announcement about how many videos I do that I erase. So I was praying about it. Like, this will be episode 500 and something. Maybe 530, perhaps. I'm not too sure. But, you know, for example, I did Habakkuk chapter 2 yesterday, and it turned into a 58 minutes. And then I've done that at least 1,500 times with other videos. So I'm only on episode 530, but I should be on episode 2,000 something easy. So why do I keep doing that? And then I was praying and praying and I was praying, and the answer came to me like this. If people think your videos are too long, Bible teaching's too long, it just means they have something better to do, and they'll be judged accordingly, Michael. Because when you were studying, little white trash Mikey here, everything came on cassette tape from the 90s, from Pastor Arnold Murray in the Shepherd's Chapel. Hundreds and hundreds of cassette tapes. I still have them. And I didn't sit there and click off. I'm not watching. I'm not listening to this. I spent more than 10,000 hours easy on every book of the Bible and the topical studies. I have a giant thing of cassette tapes that I studied from. So now the message is, I'm not going to erase anymore. I'll put a little warning on there if I got, you know, a bit carried away or started ranting or something. Maybe I'll put it in the description. But no more erasing videos. So if they're too long, they're too long. You can shut it off and you can come back to it. That's been such a monumental waste of time for me to do that. But anyway, that was just a little personal thing I thought I'd share with you. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. It's full of self-pride, arrogance. But the just shall live by his faith. Here's your counterbalance here. Here's the other side. There's going to be a great separation of people. What does this mean? The just shall live by his faith. Remember how important this is. This is in Romans, Hebrews, Galatians. God is faithful to us. We live eternally by having faith in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Unadulterated faith and belief so we can have relief. 1 Peter 4:19, God is our faithful creator. God desires no injustice to his creations. God will not violate the principles of free will, but you cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. And the consequences are simple. The heathen desire a way other than God's way. God is fair. You can have it. You don't want God in your life right now? Then you can go to a place where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever for an eternity. It's called the nether parts of the earth, also referred to as hell, which has a bad rap to it, the hell thing, because of mainstream Christianity, which is just destitute of truth. It's just so disgusting. Lake of fire means, lake means in the manuscripts. The English argument is pointless. I'll just have to say this quickly. There's no such thing as an English Bible or an English Quran. These are translations right here. Okay? And the translators gave us a warning that the English language cannot encapsulate the full sense, meaning, and full expression of the original language words found here in these manuscripts. This is what I study from. Through these lexicons. And then you'll start to find patterns that run through the Bible. Through the etymology of the key words, then you'll start to recognize phrases and then sentences. And then you'll see, hey, these patterns are for interpretation and for understanding. It's called a glossary found within the Bible, also known as the Key of David or the secret code. It's in here in the original language manuscripts. The two most printed books on planet Earth and the two most best-selling books on planet Earth, by far the Quran and the Bible, are the two least translatable books into the English. The English argument is pointless. So if you want to send me emails, I love the emails, but if you want to try to correct me from an English argument, don't bother. Take the time to go into the manuscripts, through these lexicons, and then out from any English version you prefer. So here we go. The just shall live by his faith. God is the faithful creator. The heathen desire another way. God's fair. They can have it. Okay, they can have it. You just go somewhere else when you die. All your ideologies that you think you know better than God, you think you have a better set of institutional standards to govern yourself by and govern others by. This is people that say this. I believe in myself. Okay, what's that even mean? I believe in myself. I'll tell you what it means. Every logical and moral decision these people make, think it should be the gold standard for society. They have inconsistent thought patterns. We're bound by the principles of being human. We have inconsistent thought patterns, every one of us. That leads to a set of unprincipled beliefs. So when these people say, I believe in myself, that's one common catchphrase that started in the late 1980s in those talk shows in the morning. Believe in yourself, you can do great things. Yeah, you're just going to end up being frustrated and upset and disappointed. Ultimate failure. God gives us a principled set of instructions from a consistent thought pattern, the only consistent thought pattern in the universe. comes from our Father who art in heaven. Sacred is thy name. Yahweh is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There will be a great separation of people through his only begotten Son, Yeshua Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. Just to live by his, we have faith in him. He is our faithful creator. 1 Peter 4:19. Okay, now let's get back to these people, these heathen reprobates that we pray for everybody. Always pray for everybody. God wants all his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the living word. He is the author of eternal salvation. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God, and the word became flesh at Immaculate Conception, December 25th, and tabernacled amongst us. He's your covering. He's the veil of Christ, hedge of God. Saturate me with your Holy Spirit. He's your teacher, your master, your rabbi, your wonderful counselor. He is wisdom personified. He is the author of eternal salvation, and it's right here. Here's a set of institutional standards. If you love God, if you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ with an unquestioning obedience, willingly, and understand only Jesus Christ can forgive you for your sins. These people that we're going to talk about here don't care. And we know these people. They're all over the place. It gives me a deadening sadness. Just a deadening sadness. When I think about all the people that don't care. And if you don't care about God now, then God's going to say, hey, that's fine. I can't force you to care. You can go play somewhere else. And you can run all your ideologies. Everything that you think you know better. Everything that mankind's come up with, a volume of knowledge that society's deemed fit for learning, and people worship that stuff, and none of it means anything when it comes down to it. It just keeps continuing for some reason, but it's not even hard to learn if you set your mind to it, if you have the aptitude or attitude towards it. This volume of knowledge adds up to nothing. In fact, it adds up to carnage and pandemonium, greed, gluttony, division, distrust, disorder, chaos. That's mankind's volume of knowledge. Now here they are. Verse 5 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Yeah, you also, because he transgresseth by wine, so intoxicated with your own ideologies, you just can't help yourself. You just think you know so much better. You let your feelings compromise your intelligence. You let your feelings trump the truth. Yeah, people end up being in a cult. And the only cult people never see is the one they're in. You program yourself and get your exit counseling from the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you can go play somewhere else. But people want to go there anyway. They don't want God in their life now. God's fair. Hey, you don't like me? Then you can go play somewhere else where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. In the other parts of the earth, you will be comforted there. That's why the word comforted in the Hebrew is nakam. Nakam, it's onomatopoeic word. It just means it sounds like it. Okay, I'm going to try and prove my point here forever. I'm always right. I'm going to point fingers at you, villainize you, humiliate you. People love it. That's the wailing and gnashing of teeth. They'll be just chattering forever, trying to prove a point where there is no point. We see these people today, and we pray for them. Transgresseth by wine. They're just intoxicated with themselves. Ambassadors of arrogance. Proud man. There you have it right there. Neither keepeth at home. This means seeks disturbances and wars elsewhere. Oh, what did I do? What did I do with my investment certificate? I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, we're going to find out about that. Who enlargeneth his desire as hell. This is a shitty translation. Enlargeneth his soul as hell. God has to expand hell for these people because their egos are so ginormously huge. They don't understand. Wisdom is the process of finding out your intuitions were wrong. You idolize and worship mainstream media. You see these people. What's worse than somebody like this, these ambassadors of arrogance, especially in the last bunch of years, that shows up at a table or shows up in a conversation and presents themselves as an intellectual and sits there. For example, here's a great example. You know, there's other people that just want to sit and listen. There's other people that, you know, want to mock and scoff. But the most dangerous one is the person that shows up and presents themselves as an intellectual. And this is what I got from these people. I trust the science. I trust the science. I said, okay. I trust science too. Okay, can you cite any articles, for example, in the International Journal of Infectious Disease or Science Immunology or Science Direct or National Institute of Health's Public Library? Or I have an active account on researchgate.net. Let's talk about the science here. Oh, Mr. Intellectual. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. I trust the science because some snake in a suit and his white lab coat patsy told me to go roll up my sleeve. And I did it. You didn't do it? Then I have way, I have all these catchphrases to use. These people that present themselves as intellectuals do more damage by memorizing all mainstream media catchphrases, which are always five words or less, less than 10 syllables. We know them. We've lived them. We've exhausted ourselves listening to these people. And we still pray for these people. They've lost their ability to think critically or independently. And that's what the Greek word meta is in the library or in the manuscripts. It's here for anybody to see on page 435 of your Liddell Scott lexicon. This is biblical Greek here. And what meta means. 436, to walk amongst your mental disposition, to change your thought patterns. That's what's happened to these people. To change the religious authority. Here we go. The ambassadors of arrogance. Their soul is hell and is as death. Remember, death dragnet in Revelation chapter 6, the fourth seal. Death dragging hell behind it. Now, don't let this throw you off. Maybe I'll go up there. Let's see here. That death. I'm going to change something, and I'm going to apologize for saying this over the years, that to say spiritually dead is wrong. Because death never denotes non-existence. Spiritual life is a conscious existence in communion with God. Spiritual corruption, you've corrupted your spirit, your intellect, with your ideologies, that's your personality, your character, your reactive attitude that motivates all your actions, your governing index of inward thoughts and feelings, this closed energy system that cannot exchange physical matter. It's your sense of agency. And they've worked on your judgment of agency. So now it's corrupted, but you will have a conscious existence separate from God. You don't like God anyway. God's fair. Like it says, God desires no injustice to his creations. He will not force you. He will not violate the principles of free will. That's all there is to it. He's not going to, you can't force someone to love somebody. You can't, these people don't belong on the heaven side, and we don't belong there. What are we supposed to be down in the hell side, the lake of fire, which just means your burning emotions, your the internal passion of the mind. Lake just means harbor or haven. You can stay there. What if someone was down there like me with this Bible? I don't belong there. And they don't belong with us. God is fair. There's going to be a great separation of people. So they've exhausted their caregiver, and we're not going to cry about it. We pray for them now. What are they doing right now? The saddest thing is mainstream Christians are out there chasing Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, those fertility symbols from that sexual orgy, that is the Ashtaroth, that's where Easter came from, on the high day of Christianity. It's brutal. Just brutal. Let's get back here. And we're talking about death. And we get back to nether parts of the earth where there is no praise or presence of God whatsoever. You will exist because a closed energy system, energy cannot be created or destroyed. The body is an open energy system. So someone argues with me. This is psychology 101. You get a psychological reaction. It's processed by the brain, which initiates a physiological response. And this is why they work on this. It's psychops, menticides, psychological warfare. Again, sense of agency with the research impact on how the resulting research can impact not people's feeling of agency, like I'm a little bit, you know, that's feeling of agency, the background buzz of just being alive, your judgment of agency, who you are, your personality, your character. They work on that. It doesn't matter. You gotta be, everybody gets judged individually. God judges each case on its own merits. These are these people. They can't be satisfied. They gather all nations and heapeth them all people. Yeah, you're involved. It's called one worldism. It's one world order. Listen. Shall not these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him that increases that which is not his? It's not yours. When you invest in anything as long as there's a return, that's not yours. You're investing in child labor, labor exploitation, human rights violations. You're investing in war, genocide, big food, big chemical, big energy. Look what they've done to the planet. Oppression, it's not yours. There's a huge thread through the Bible. Psalms 15, Isaiah chapter 33, Micah chapter 6, Habakkuk, Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 28. What are you going to do, rich man? It says, giving to the rich for personal gain is forbidden in the Bible. Absolutely forbidden. not yours. How long? How long to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Yeah, you've got a facade of innocence, right? Because you got this little investment portfolio, right? And you're making money off it, and you're sitting there bragging to your friends about it, how much money you're making. It's from child labor, Hey, make money or make the world a better place. It's just become normalized by rich, white, money-handling men. Pillage, greed, personal wealth, personal gain. It's all become normalized by these rich white money handling men. They've set up and funded a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. Look what Larry Fink said in his letter to his shareholders and stakeholders back in 221. He said, money is not your right. It's your privilege. It's not your right. You got to earn it, he's saying. But we've commodified all the basic necessities of life. And look what they've done. Massive oppression throughout the world. System of pillage and oppression. What do? They go sow the seeds of hatred and phobias with their aggressive imperialistic nationalism, which is through lobbying the corrupt government of the biggest superpower on planet Earth, the United States of America. Take up a parable against him in a taunting proverb. Okay, what is a parable? Always remember, this is a poor translation that they use parable and proverb in the same sentence, because parable and proverb, 99% of the time, are the same word. It's mashal in the Hebrew. And mashal is a superiority in mental action. So we'll go over the word parable here. What does parable mean? From the manuscripts through the lexicons. A concise statement of principle that is applicable to God's laws encompassing on all aspects of human life. It is instructional doctrine. This is what a parable means. And most of the time it's the same word, proverb, mashal, prime root verb. Instructional doctrine that is illustrated with a fullness of expression, sense, and meaning. All parables and proverbs include, this is a big thing, a divine ruling judgment that is final. Parables and proverbs are a rule of governments and the divine power of God's diminutive authority, imperative, absolute construct. All parables and proverbs are connected to glossary threads that run through the Bible for clear and concise interpretation. That's God's trademark stamp of validity. Those threads that run through the Bible through the etymology of the key words for interpretation and understanding make up the structural fabric of the key of David itself for interpretation and understanding. When people say, Michael, you've interpreted this wrong, I say, bring your manuscripts and bring all the lexicons you can find and let's have a Bible study together. I'm dying for that. To translate keywords and phrases outside the Bible is not only misleading, it is maliciously mischievous. Proverbs 26:9. I love this proverb. I just wrote this proverb down underneath my definition here. That are all my notes, by the way. I'm not a commentary bandit. Proverbs 26:9. As a thorn that goeth up into the hand of a drunkard. Hey, Rummy. So is a parable in the mouth of a fool. Commentary bandits, and I'm not one of them. Okay, so that's what a proverb is. Now here they said the word, that's what a parable is, but here the word proverb is a different word. So taunting proverb makes up a phrase here. It makes up the phrase, say, kida malitza. And this should have been translated, take up a parable against them with an interpretation of a difficult question. They will regard it as insulting and mocking, as they are the ambassadors of arrogance. Their spiritual values and principles, their spiritual integrity, never goes beyond self-interest. Hey, they think because of their stuff and things, and we pray for these people, they think that they're phenomenal. Look at my shiny things. Do you see my bank account, Michael? It adds value to my opinion. It buys me respect, character, common sense, trust, integrity. I can buy love with my money and self-worth. No, you can't, buddy. Nobody respects you because of your money. Nobody cares unless they're a vulture waiting for you to drop. You can't buy manners either. You can't buy salvation, contentment, inner peace. You can't buy happiness. You can buy pleasure. Oh, sure. You can buy shiny things that will bring you pleasure, soon to be outdated shit, with built with a planned obsolescence. I walked it, and I'm looking at something right now that I coveted way back. I'll admit it. I used to covet shiny things. Remember back in 2010, that Cadillac came out with the pickup truck, the white pickup truck? I had to have it. How many hours I spent the car wash, scrubbing it, going over, making it nice. Okay, all these years later, there it is. I can see it through the sliding glass doors. Three bald tires, a spare, rusty piece of shit. There it is. That's what I coveted. That's why I think that's why I keep it. Besides that, I have minus 10 cents in my personal bank account. I'm just like, will you make it to Walmart today if I got to buy some groceries or not? That's what I coveted. Emptiness. Trying to fill an inner void with the emptiness of the material world. And just the sheer insincerity and meaninglessness of the superficial world. I was the poster child of that. One day, you know, just, Michael, when are you going to give it up? When are you going to give it up? When are you going to stop kicking against me? Can't be satisfied. I couldn't be satisfied. Wanted bigger tires. I wanted shinier, bigger, more. Gather it all. Okay. Woe to him that increases that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with sick clay. That's a facade of innocence. What am I doing wrong? This is what I was taught. You go get money. You enter the rat race, even though the rat race sees no humanity in the individual. You're never going to win. And even if you possibly did win, you'd still be a rat. Take your money and go invest it with these lovely people, Michael. And they'll invest in anything as long as there's a return. Because it's all about you and your personal wealth. Don't worry. Oh, I know they invest in big energy. And there's children right now over here in the Congo going to work with no safety boots. They're going to work in a pair of flip-flops, no gloves, no hard hat, no lunchbox for $1 a day so that I can have more money in my account in the morning. And these cobalt mines said, well, they don't have to go. That's what some lady told me. I pray for her. Thy will be done. That's how you pray for them, right? Thy will be done. See you, lady. She says, they don't have to go. I says, yeah, they do. Because they need that dollar for that bowl of soup that they get, the one meal a day that they eat out of a filthy, dirty margarine container that they found in the dump so that we can get rich over here. And it goes on. War is a big moneymaker. Big chemical, big food. Like, let's just make this whole planet into a chemical toilet so a few rich people can make money off of it. Hardly anybody has these investment certificates. You know, only 1%, and it's less now, of the whole human population makes $40,000 a year American. 1%. And then a small percentage of them seem to be the blabbermost of the world thinking, hey, it's all about you. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee? This word bite is nachak in the Hebrew. It means the sting of oppression caused by charging and enforcing interest rates, usury. Receiving interest is the mark of a despicable degenerate. Although it has become normalized by rich white men, they come and bite you. And awake they shall vex you. This word vex is zuwa. It means shake you up right to your core. Can't sleep at night worrying about money. I was one of them. This is exactly how it goes. How am I going to make that payment? I want more stuff and things. It just... And this should be for booties too. They just walk all over you. Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. This is very interesting. Because there's a personal pronoun here. This doesn't make sense to me because thou. So go back into the manuscripts and see. This is kiata. That's a personal pronoun. This means they are all in on it together. It's being normalized. This includes everybody. It's a construct. And we're talking about every single individual in this construct. And the construct is known also as the beast, which is the word therion, which means dangerous system of things. Don't get caught up in this dangerous system of things. It'll hunt you down. It will trap you. It's extremely hard to get out of the rat race once you've been in it. And it's been ingrained into your head right from youth. This is what you want. So look at your father's shiny things. Look, we get a cottage. We go on silly vacations. We can go to golf courses all around the world, ballparks, everything. Who cares where the money comes from? That gets ingrained in you. Total absence of humanity for the rest of the human family. because thou hast spoiled many nations, and the remnant of the people spoil thee. Because, yeah, all involved because of men's blood. This is twice in here. Because of men's blood. This is mankind's blood. Blood is your life force. Deuteronomy chapter, or Genesis, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, three times in the Bible tell us your soul is in your blood. Your soul is your life force. And you're oppressing people's soul. That's what this means. For what? For the violence, for the cruel injustice and oppression happening in the land of the city and of all that dwell therein. Woe to them that coveteth an evil covenantness to his house, that he may set his nest on high. Look at me. I'm Joel Diamond. I'm King Shit of Turtle Island here. Look at my stuff and things that he may deliver from the power of evil. My big fences and my cameras are going to protect me from evil. Because if God's fair, according to my ideologies, I'm going to have a front seat in the kingdom of heaven because my credit card gets more respect than yours. Okay, you can have that construct in your mind. Your shareholders, stakeholders in America's and Canada's. You know, we're talking about like Larry Fink and the Vanguards. Everyone's paying into that. It is forbidden to give to the rich for personal gain. It's forbidden in the Bible. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house. Your house is shame, man. Yeah, you got that facade there and your big fence and your shiny teeth and everything else. It's a shame. But why? Because you've cut off many people and you've sinned against your soul. You cut off so many people from who they could have been by oppressing them through your passive-aggressive behavior with your money, your greed, attitudes of obscene entitlement, fueled by ruthless, unadulterated greed, oppresses people all around the world so a select few people can get rich. And now the rich are even, it's called decadence. It's the end of an empire. They're raiding people underneath them. There's no more American middle class. There's a huge disconnect between the rich and the poor because the rich just can't get enough. Shame. Sin against thy soul. Remember, sin against your soul. We go to the first seal. Yeah, I've anointed some grievous sore right on your soul. You have the mark of the beast in you. Mark of the beast just means it's just 666. That's the number of man, right? Let's just go over that. Had to be 666 because biblical numerics is another trademark stamp of God's validity. Six means struggle, uncertainty, torment. This is mankind's unprincipled, inconsistent thought patterns, unreliable ideologies. You just come up short because seven is spiritual completeness. It's human incompetence, human failure, mankind's 100% failure rate at governing themselves from the kitchen table to the world stage because you have anointsome, grievous sore right on your soul. Anointsome is kekos, grievous is poneros. It means evil thoughts and intents. That's your governing index of inward thoughts and feelings and your actions. Poneros in the Greek. Evil, evil sore right on your soul. It's just oozing out of you. And you feel no shame. You just think all your shiny things are going to protect you. For the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam and the timber shall answer it. Even your buildings. You go to the buildings. BlackRock's buildings, Vanguard buildings, your local bank. Corruption. Just screaming right out of the walls. But it's become so normalized and people worship it. Always remember when you're talking to your heathen friends, when they say, I'm not religious. Say, listen, man, religion just means follower of one's own beliefs. That's all it means. That's the biblical definition of religion. And then they say, well, what about worship? Worship just means what you have faith in, what you trust. You trust rich white man's empty assurances, rich white man's ideologies are going to save you, like it says here in the Bible. That's what you trust. You think you can buy your way into the kingdom of heaven? Well, you can't. The empty assurances of rich white man's ideologies. Like a dog that licks its master's hands. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your redeemer. He's the author of eternal salvation, most precious in the universe, first and foremost importance in the universe. The only begotten Son of God, irreplaceable. He laid down his life for me and for you. Maximum torture, maximum humiliation, maximum pain. He took the lowest earthly position for us. That's who I have faith in. He did not sin. That gave him the right to say, no guile, no malice, no corruption was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you got nothing on me. I walked amongst in the flesh as your teacher, your master, your rabbi. Satan was hyper-focused to get Jesus Christ to sin with maximum temptation. He mopped the floor with him, had his religious community orchestrate him getting nailed to the cross. Jesus Christ on the cross, most selfless act of love and compassion the universe has ever witnessed, crowning point of Christianity was Calvary at the cross, where prophecy became in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with reality. Satan, you got nothing on me. When that blood spilled, Jesus Christ said, it is done. John 1930, death has been defeated. The doors of the ministry of salvation are now open. I did it. I defeated the death state of Satan because he's got nothing on me. That's how Jesus Christ beat Satan. You got nothing on me. If Jesus Christ were to sin, the kingdom of heaven would not be valid. And then this power of evil would be allowed in of these people. There's shame. The buildings would cry out. But we become the structural fabric and the key. We become part of the structural fabric of the Millennium Temple itself, as it's written, us, me, you. We can call ourselves overcomers, whatever you want. That's fine. They want to go play somewhere else. They don't belong in the kingdom of heaven. We don't belong there. God is fair. God desires no injustice to his creations. He will not violate the principles of free will. And then when it happens again, Revelation 16, 17, it is done. Jesus Christ wraps up the affairs of time on this flesh age, and we go to the Millennium Temple. It is now open. It is valid. It is legit. It is bona fide. It will not accommodate evil, not negotiate evil, and it will not compromise your ideologies outside the Word of God. It is just irrational to think that you know more than God. And that's what people think. And those people that think like that, woe to those with child to give suck in those days where you're nursing along your ideologies. And you're feeding into them, and you won't let go of them, because you don't understand that wisdom is the process of finding out your intuitions were wrong. We're here for one reason and one reason only, for correction. God only chastises those he loves, and we give thanks for chastisement, because God knows how much affliction each of us needs to humble for the eternity we fell out of harmony with the universe. There's something inside of each of us that is not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And the only way back is through the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer of the whole human family. He laid down his life for you. He took the stripes for you, and he paid a price for you that none of us could pay. We have to repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means have a change of heart towards the sin itself. We have to submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, I repent, my Lord Jesus Christ. I understand. I recognize you are the only one that did not sin. That gives you the universal right that is universally recognized to forgive sin at a judicial level, to allow me judicial clearance back into your Millennium Temple, back towards the eternal temple. That's how far we fell. Do you think God would have ever, a loving God would ever say, I'm going to create people, I'm going to create children, and put them in these flesh bodies? Are you effing crazy? That is just bizarre. Not to understand why we're here. It is beyond all reasonables to think that a loving God would put us through this unless he's trying to get your attention. This is not a time for personal gain. It's not a time for what's in it for me? It is a time for correction. And we pray for the whole human family. God wants his children back. I pray for everybody. I have a huge deadening sadness for people that I know and people that I don't even know, because their ego is so big it's going to land them on the hell side. Maybe they want to be there. That's why it says comforted. Maybe they want to be there. That's fine. I can only do this. I can show people the Bible, and you govern yourself accordingly. Sinned against your soul. Your buildings cry out. Woe unto him that buildeth a town with blood and stableth a city by iniquity. What do you think? Money's going to do it for you? Behold, this is the greatest verse. It is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and that the people shall weary themselves for vanity. That's not what he wants us to do. And that's what everybody does. That's what the rat race does. It's been normalized. Let's talk about this fire quickly. We know the thread for fire is Revelation 4, or Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 9, and all you mainstream Christian people that think the lake of fire is an actual frying pan or something like that, with flames coming up out of it, like torches, like there's propane, like God's sitting there burning human beings. God's not a Hitler. How dare you think like that? And you get a feeling of empowerment thinking, oh, those people I couldn't stand. I can't wait to see them frying like a piece of bacon over there. Come on, God, more flames on them. Let's throw some crud, some blood and shit on them. Let's do that. Fire is the internal passion of the mind. You think about literal fire and burning emotion fire, do the same thing. Literal fire and burning emotion fire do the same thing. They disrupt the systematic order of things and destroy the purpose of function. Fire is used to describe discord throughout the body, that's lack of harmony between things because of disagreement between people, fueled by the internal passion of the mind, and the effective results by reason of the destructive power it exercises. I'm just going over James chapter 3 here. We talk about fire through the Bible. God's not going to torch human beings like he's a Hitler. We're supposed to be ministers of fire. Remember that. Remember Jesus was tripping around in Luke chapter 24 with a bunch of people. And they said after Jesus Christ walked away, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Well, Jesus Christ talked with us while he opened up the scriptures. Our hearts burned. God's word at Jeremiah chapter 20. God's word. And Jeremiah's heart is a burning fire. Jeremiah, God says, it's not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Their rock is not our rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, our victory song. I will make my words in your mouth as a fire. That's what the two witnesses are doing. Their words are a fire. It burns the lies right away. It burns people up inside. They don't want to hear the truth. You can't handle the truth. A lot of people just can't handle it. They think their preferences determine what's true because they have deeply ingrained habits of thought. They can't get over their ego. They can never be corrected. They think everything is an argument. Well, they can go argue forever somewhere else with all your ideologies. That's what idolatry is. You have different ideologies than what's written here. God gave us a set of institutional standards to govern ourselves by to get back into harmony with his universe. And if you don't like them, God said, that's fine. Does it hurt God? Isaiah chapter 22, the vision of the valley. It hurts him large. You rejected God and you're over in hell now and you're just going to run your mouth forever and just get more frustrated to the point of mortification of the soul. We don't want that on anybody. Like, what's your problem? People think they know more than God. We can talk more about this. James 3:6 tells us straight up what the fire of hell is. It is not a barbecue. God is not having a barbecue to burn human beings. And the key is, setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. The English argument is pointless here. This word set on fire is one word in the manuscripts. It is phlogizo. And it's the fire of hell. It means to inflame with passion. That's the internal passion of the mind. It's all about provoking strong feelings. We are God's ministers of fire. Does that provoke strong feelings in anybody? Oh, they hate us. Sane in the Hebrew, personal hatred. Them, false apostles and deceitful workers operate destructively in subtle but powerful ways of that in which destructive influences are kindled. That intensifies and escalates. We're watching it play out on the world stage now. You ain't seen nothing yet. You don't want to go to that hell side. Remember Isaiah 3:4 or 4:3 or something like that. The spirit of burning, the great separation of people. Wickedness is the burning. It's the internal passion of the mind. It's not God standing there with a torch burning flesh. The flesh is in the ground anyway. Your reactive attitude that motivates all actions, your spirit, the intellect of your soul, your psyche. It's a closed energy system. We're not exchanging physical matter now. No physical matter. That's a closed energy system. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It goes somewhere when you die. Right away. So, he doesn't want us to labor in this fire. He doesn't want us to weary ourselves over vanity, over the emptiness of the material world. Basic necessities of life. And we should be concerned about that for everybody on planet Earth. But no, make money or make the world a better place. Let's see. Make money or make the world a better place. What's the second option? I don't remember. Make money. That's all people think about themselves. Self-occupation. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters that cover the seas. Available now, today, in the here and now, right now. Who wants it? Woe to him that giveth his neighbor. This is not neighbor because in Luke chapter 10, I think, we learn what a neighbor is. And this word's not neighbor in the manuscripts. It's ane. It just means somebody else, another person. Okay, it's not neighbor. One of him that giveth his another person drink and put thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken, that he may us look on his nakedness. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're trying to expose people. You're trying to say, okay, I'm going to find this person's weakness, and I'm going to exploit it. Everybody around me is surplus and exploitable for my personal gain. You know people like this. You know they're sizing up your shit. They're looking around. Oh, and this chainsaw, this pawnable item. What else you got here? A few other things I can steal. You know, they walk amongst us to gain trust. This is what this is saying here. You're trying to expose. So they're totally exposed. Thou art filled with the shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let the foreskin be uncovered. This isn't something greasy. That greasy people would just, oh, look at this. What are we talking about here? This means foreskin be uncovered. Uncovenant. Uncovenanted. You have no covenant. Ignorance is what it means. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on the glory, because circumcision was a sign of covenant. You have a covenant with God. And here, there just means uncovenant. You have no God in your construct. It's just all about you and your thought patterns and your ideologies, and you're nursing them along. And remember, let's go to Psalms chapter 7. When we say, behold, woe unto those with child to give suck in those days. And we say, behold, he travaileth with iniquity and conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. It's such a great thing. There's one of your threads for Matthew chapter 24, verse 19. Woe unto those with child who give suck in those days. With your ideologies, you've conceived them inside you. And you can't be wrong. And you won't allow yourself to be corrected, because you are phenomenon. You are phenomenal. You're an object of your own perception. You're a phenomenon. Object of your own perception. Thou art filled with the shame for glory. Okay, we went over that. Lord's right hand shall be turned into the shameful spewing on the glory. What's a shameful spewing? You'll be running your mouth. You'll be trying to run your mouth in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you will meet your maker. You'll die at the most inconvenient time, no matter how big of a star you think you are. Fate will not negotiate with you. There's no trailer on a hearse. You can't take your money with you. You take what's in your construct of your psyche, your spirit, the intellect of your soul, and you have to present that to Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to say, what's on your account? You're not going to have time to say anything. The spewing of your glory is you running your mouth on the highway to hell. That's what it is. We don't wish that for anybody. We don't wish that on anybody, but it's going to happen. It has to happen, because God is fair. There's no injustice to his creations. If you don't want to submit to with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to. Go ahead. It's your free will. Go play somewhere else. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of the beast which made them afraid because of men's blood. There's men's blood again. And for the violence of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. You see the same grammatical construct here. Let's, instead of transliterating this, or let's translate it for the violence of Lebanon. This means Hamas, Lebanon. It means cruel injustice of the extent of the land shall cover thee. Why? Because of the spoil of the beast. That's Bahama. That's livestock. That was their commodity. That's what's being said here. Because of their commodity is exploitable. Now it's oil, obviously. Excuse me. Which made them afraid because of men's blood. There we go, because of men's blood, because you're exploiting somebody's life force. You're exploiting it, and you're oppressing it, and you're making it pretty much impossible for them to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think? Who do you think's going to the kingdom of heaven? I want to ask you this. People that are making money off, this is just today's example. People that are making personal gain off these children that are working in these cobalt mines in the Congo, or the children in the Congo that have no chance at sitting down to a Bible study because they're being so oppressed and grinding poverty is being forced upon them while these rich men make money. And they call themselves Christians there. These people don't even have a chance to call themselves anything except to fill that dirty margarine bowl with that bowl of soup with the $1 a day they get. So we pray for these people. We pray for those people over there, rich white men. But we pray for these people. These people have their ticket stamped into the kingdom of heaven 100%. It's a great time of teaching. There's no doubt about it. Well, the rich white men, they can go play somewhere else. They can go play somewhere else. And anybody that plays into it, passively aggressively. Remember what it said. Oh, you cover yourself in thick clay. That's the facade of innocence. What did I do? I was just on all my silly vacations playing golf all around the world. What did I do? We needed new vehicles. We needed to have a house here and a house there and a house down south. Don't you understand Canadian weather? Okay, that's fine. Govern yourself accordingly. Because of men's blood, violence of the land, that is a cruel injustice of the land, of the city, and all that dwell therein. What profit is the graven image that the maker thereof have given it, the molten image, and the teacher of lies, which connects us to, because of men's blood, Acts chapter 20, remember, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when Paul said, I've washed my hands of the blood of you people. I tried my best. And you can say this also, if you're teaching the Bible and you're trying your best and people are rejecting you, then you can just say, I've washed my hands of the blood. I tried my best. That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. Listen, I tried my best. I didn't hold back trying to teach the Bible to strangers around the world. That's what I'm doing right now. I didn't hold back. And if you want to reject it, it's not my fault, because in Ezekiel chapter 3:18, if you do not try to spread the message of Christ's love throughout the world, if you do not try to magnify, glorify, and broadcast God's saving word when you have an understanding, because I can run this Bible from page 1 to Revelation 22:21 easier than Cat in the Hat. How do I articulate it and broadcast it to others? That's another story. If I rejected doing that, then their blood is on my hands. Wash your hands of the blood by serving God now, of other people that, you know, could have heard the word of God. What if Pastor Alan Murray, back in 1997, what if he decided just to keep his Bible study at his kitchen table and not open up the Shepherd's Chapel? But it wasn't just him. People recognized, hey, this guy knows the Bible. This guy, Pastor Alan Murray, knows the Bible. We got to get this word out there. It takes money to pay for the internet, to pay for, like, camera equipment, and to get a many member body together, whatever God given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the many member body of Christ. Help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving words. These people recognize their spot in the many member body of Christ. You get the same reward as Pastor Alan Murray, as everybody that supported him. Because I was laying there in 1997 staring at the ceiling. I lived in a different subculture that society can barely even comprehend. Staring at the ceiling, 3 a.m. I got a TV there. It's just plugged into the wall for no reason whatsoever. No cable or nothing. And I could hear this guy teaching the Bible at 3 a.m. And I grabbed a piece of paper and a pen and started writing it down. This fuzzy TV just plugged into the wall. It's like, are you kidding me? I read the Bible. I couldn't find this guy again. It took me a year. Finally found him. And then I started buying those cassettes and supporting that ministry. What if nobody supported Pastor Arnold Murray back in 97? I would be dead, spiritually dead, physically dead, 100%. What about the thousands and possibly millions of people? It was the people that supported the ministry, not the minister himself. That's one thing. Whatever your spot is in the many member body of Christ, who God gives much, who he expects much in return, to support it and get the word of God out there. What profited the graven image? Okay, what's a graven image now? Molten image, teacher of lies, make of his work, and trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Who's the dumb idols now? Okay, so people say to me, we don't have statues in our house here in Canada, Michael. We don't have statues that we worship. We don't have dumb idols. You do. Look in the mirror. You and your ideologies that think you know better than God, that's irrational. God cannot reconcile irrational people, and that is delusional. He can't reconcile delusional people. There's your graven images. There's your dumb idols looking right back at you in the mirror. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake. What's the wood now? Money, obviously. Wood is paper. Awake. Awake to the dumb stone. Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it's laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Listen, what's behind money? If everybody went to the bank today in Canada, United States, says, okay, I just want to withdraw everything. Money doesn't exist. It only exists on a government chart. Don't you be a statistic on a government chart either. You can't have faith in any of this. It's all an illusion. Behold, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. What do you got to say in front of God anyway? I know people that say, whoa, when I meet the Lord, God, oh boy, oh boy, Are you going to have your Bible lady, the one that says, oh boy, oh, there's things in here that I don't like. In other words, you got your ideologies and you want to just start ripping out pages, redacting things here. Oh, maybe adding some morally corrupt. I really like the barnyard morals out there. I think it should be celebrated and paraded around more. Well, that's just one thing. Hey, you take your ideologies with you and you can go play somewhere else because you don't want to be with us anyway. And we don't want to be with you. Have yourself the greatest day. I love you to pieces. Have yourself a great day. And bye for now.